This is a rebroadcast of a June 2024 episode of For Land's Sake with Natalie Spears, interviewed by Bill Kite. Please enjoy.
You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program For Land's Sake. I'm Bill Kite, your host, and today we're fortunate to have our very own local musician with us, Natalie Spears. Welcome, my friend, to the show.
Good to have you.
Good to see you, too. We're going to have fun today.
I'm happy to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in. You know, I'm still coming down from Friday night's concert at Tikal. What a great performance that was. You and the band started practicing, what, back in January, did you?
Tobin, the drummer, and Carl, the bass player, and I started back in February.
Wow.
And then Dustin joined in about a month ago. So they really, really slammed it. They did such a good job.
Well, you did, too. I was really happy that I got a chance to be there. Mm. Looking back, what happened during that period of time that got you where you are today?
A lot of time in a snail shell by myself. No, I'm kidding. I have been working on this record for about a year, and it's really been a gift. I've been in collaborations for many years, which I've loved. And this past year has really been the year of my first solo record, and it's taken a lot of time and focus, and it's also been punctuated with a lot of time spent outside and processing time and walks and time to clear my mind. So it's been a combination of sort of very intense focus and then trying to, you know, balance that with other ventures.
It's always hard to me to balance the things you really like to do with the things you have to do in life.
Right? So. Like, do your laundry.
Yeah, right. Laundry. Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, your website, nataliespears.com, says that it's the quiet awe of wild places that most animates you.
Mm.
I would have to agree with that, knowing you a little bit. And what does that mean to you? Tell us a little bit, if you can, about that.
Well, I think inevitably art is an extension of who we are. And for me, the wildness of this place and just the beauty of this place is such a source of inspiration and healing and sort of connectedness. And I think my attempt in life is to get closer to that feeling. I think a lot of us move here for that reason, because it's just, this land is so magical. And that weaves its way into my art. And I think the quiet spaces are where I find inspiration and are where I can hear myself. I'm an extroverted introvert, but I get a little overwhelmed sometimes in the chatter of the world, and it's when I go to those quiet spaces where I can hear myself again.
It was funny when I came in, Luke Nestler was here, and he was showing me some pictures of these beautiful poppies, I think they are, orange. It was just, they were like fluorescent almost, and he came upon them on the trail this morning with the fresh light of the morning and took pictures, and it's just that kind of awe we have around us every day, don't we?
We're so lucky.
For sure.
So lucky.
You know, the new album of yours, the solo album, is called Hymn of Wild Things, and it will be out June 28th. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Most of us who were fortunate enough to be there for last Friday were able to purchase your CD. Excuse me. And I really like the poem that is Wendell Berry's poem, that's short, to the point, and very powerful. And I'm just going to go ahead and read it, because you do such a good job of making that into a song.
Mm.
To know the dark. To go in the dark with a light is to know the light. To know the dark. Go without light. Go without sight. And find that the dark, too, blooms and sings and is traveled by dark feet and dark wings. Mm. Wow. How did you, what made you choose that, and how did you get the music to it?
Well, it was actually a song that was shared with me after my dad died. My best friend Kat is kind of part of this outdoor educational, we call it in quotes, earth skills kind of collection of people that are sort of sprinkled around the world. And within that collection of people, there's sort of songs that get passed around. And there's a wonderful woman out of Santa Cruz named Katie Hicks. And Katie Hicks is actually who wrote a melody for that song, and I changed it a little bit. So the music was really gifted to me by Kat, and is part of this community. And I placed the song. It felt like the right song to put on the record at the end after I played the song about my dad, and that just is sort of navigating this corner of grief and life. And this song is on the album is sort of meant to bring you into a space of community and collected voice, and out of this sort of lonely place that we can really experience when we've gone through grief, and we can feel really like the solitude of that grief can be really challenging.
For sure. And I think that that's almost the human side of the hymn of Wild Things to me. It's just a great way to end the show.
Mm.
This new album of yours is called Hymn of Wild Things. And so that in itself is pretty powerful to me. And it brings us, of course, to the birds, mm-hmm. that just are amazing, that we're talking about the sandhill cranes. And I got to tell you this quick story about my experience with the sandhill cranes. I used to live and work in Socorro, New Mexico, and about 12 miles south is the Bosque del Apache Wildlife Refuge.
Oh, you're so lucky.
Oh, yeah, it was great. I took my kids there, and one day I was there quietly watching the sandhill cranes, where they winter there, and they were eating and feeding, and there was a juvenile coyote that was trying to get close to them, mm-hmm. you know, playing and acting like he was playing. And as soon as he got too close, they would just so elegantly just come up and then come right back down just far enough away. And that was, that time I didn't have a camera, didn't have a cell phone, and it would have been great if I would have captured that. But that stays with me forever. And as a matter of fact, you say in the song about the sandhill cranes, it will stay with you forever, the hymn of wild things. Isn't that the truth with those birds?
It is. I remember the first time I heard them, and they're just such, they're timeless. They feel like they're, I mean, all animals and creatures are really, but for some reason, I guess because they're less familiar, they feel like dinosaurs in a way.
Well, I agree with you. I think they're ancient. There's something ancient about them that evokes a deep sense of I think belonging to that ancientness. If you relate to them, which I don't know why anyone wouldn't. And you experienced the Fruit Growers Reservoir, so seeing them come in spring, was it?
Well, I had written this song after I followed a pair of them, their calls to the park near Gianetti. And so when I recorded this record, I really wanted there to be live crane sounds on it. So my roommate and I went one early March morning, and we went over to Fruit Growers, and we got there right before the sun was about to rise, and we found a little pod of them, and they were doing their little...
Oh, yeah.
And we caught them right before they flew off, and it was so exciting to get to put that in the record and then also figure out how to integrate that into live performance.
And then you did a good job doing that, integrating it. That was... I was like, wow, I didn't expect that, and it was nice to hear them again. I got there when they were coming in, and so... Another time I was just walking through town and I heard them, mm-hmm. and you can't, you know, they're up so high, and it was just another one of those wonderful experiences. But seeing them come in, it's for a big bird with gawky legs like that, they circle like they do. And it's just so amazing to see how they just come in and in a circle and keep coming down and coming down. So yeah, that's a good place to see them in the spring for sure.
Yeah.
What are some other things in nature that relate as part of the hymn of wild things for you?
Oh, well, it's hard to get through a song without having some sort of bird reference or something, you know, but I think another song that is really rich in that imagery and feeling is one called Orchard of Dreams.
Uh-huh.
And for that one, I had this image of bedding down at the base of a tree in an orchard and having these trees sort of suck up your doubts and your worries, and then through this alchemy, like transforming them into fruits that you take with you back into life, and they're these fruits of dreams. And the orchards of Paeonia kept coming to mind when I was writing that song, and it was really beautiful imagery to get to work with.
Orchard of Dreams, yeah. The Paeonia is a special place. Just, I think that's the breadbasket of organic farming for Colorado, and the wines that are there in the orchards. And yeah, it's orchards are man-made and tended, but they also, I think, are an example of how we tamed a little bit of nature, but didn't really.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good song too. One Eye John, I had heard before,
uh-huh.
And tell us a little bit about that, if you could.
That is a fictionalized tale inspired by a local character that I met this person, and they have some really interesting philosophies on life, and anytime I talk with them, I learn a lot, and I walk away from our conversations being more curious. And he said something one day that money will buy you a pocket full of vanity and a fistful of wind. And I just decided that was, he has so many great lines, but that one stuck with me. And so I tried to weave that into a song and fictionalized this sort of took the essence of him and fictionalized the tale. But I think it nods to, you know, some truth in the realities of what it's like to be a coal miner and sort of the, yeah, just the life evolution of that. But, well, I can't really speak for that. I don't know what it's like to be a coal miner, but some of the tales of, you know, mining collapses. I read that book, Digging in the Dark, of that has selections of coal miner accounts of being in the mines. And it's just harrowing to read about their lives and stories. And
right. When you're a poet that puts the words to music. So how does the poetry come to you? When does something click and you know you've got a song?
Well, it's funny. We're about to do a teen songwriting workshop at Taka, and we were just talking about the elements of songwriting, and we sort of break it down into rhythm and harmony and melody and lyric, and then, of course, you know, all of the other ethereal parts that are part of a song. But I think the songwriting process for me starts in so many different corners. Sometimes it starts with the lyric. Sometimes it starts with a chord progression. And I'd say I'm not the most verbose human. So lyrics have been, and learning to express myself verbally has been a skill that I've been working on. Melody and chord progressions and rhythm come much more naturally to me. But the poetry, like, leaning into poetry and leaving space for that in my life and finding ways to create avenues for writing for me has been exciting in the past few years.
I've always had trouble writing, and it's hard for me. It's not something that comes easy.
Yeah.
Even the poetry doesn't come easy for me, but when you're in tune and the muse visits you, it clicks, doesn't it?
I mean,
you know you've got something special in it. And if you can't lasso it and bring it in, somebody else will.
It's true.
Last Chance is one of the other songs. What's that about?
Well, I love old-time music. And old-time music, when I say that, what I mean is the music that is at the root of bluegrass. It's the music that's a combination of Anglo folk traditions and the Afro-Caribbean influence of the banjo and First Nations round dancing and song. And, you know, it was really a music that sprung up any place where there were enslaved peoples along the Chesapeake seaboard and through the Appalachian Mountains. And so Last Chance is primarily a banjo tune written by Hobart Smith, who was a great, quote-unquote, old-time banjo player. And it's in a particular tuning, which is something that's very special about the clawhammer banjo. Normally, you kind of keep your strings tuned to the same note. But with clawhammer banjo, which is the style that I play, you change tunings, and there's a specific tuning called Last Chance. And there's an openness to this tune, and it was a tune that I was playing a lot. It was just a tune that I'd come to when I'd pick up my banjo when my dad was sick, and it's really hypnotic in nature. And Hobart Smith, I played a recording of him at the beginning of that song, gifted to me by the Smithsonian Folkways, and he's saying, "Last chance, something we all get to have before we die is a last chance." And so it just sort of fit with this theme of kind of that twilight time of life.
That I was wondering, because when I heard it on the CD, I was wondering who was saying that, because it was a great saying.
Yeah,
it really was.
Writer Hobart Smith.
Yeah, albums putting together. I still call them albums. I don't know if that's what you're supposed to call
albums.
Them or not,
I don't know.
and just reckoning with the death of somebody you really love, a parent. I think I lost a daughter. Myself, and so there's something just that you can never, I don't think you can ever reconcile, but you can somehow make it where you can deal with it day by day. And I find that to be that open, like you are, is very important to me and special, because I think if we share that feeling of someone leaving us that we really love, I think it helps other people as well.
I think it's helpful to talk about it. I think otherwise grief lives under the surface, and it's helpful to, you know, grace each other with the space to feel it if we need to feel it, and then it doesn't leak out the sides and manifest in weird ways, and I don't know how to do it all. I'm just learning through music, and I find myself when I get too busy, it's usually if I dig deeper, I'm like, oh, there's something going on down there, and I need to, like, sit with it, you know?
The shadows are there, whether we acknowledge them and deal with them or not.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Homeward.
Yeah.
Homeward. Let's talk about Homeward.
Homeward was a song I wrote during the pandemic. I had gone to be with a partner, and it just wasn't the right fit. And I was driving back in Kansas, and it's not a good state for driving through and ruminating on heartbreak. And
right.
And then, you know, the mountains pop up. The Rocky Mountains finally show themselves, and I just get that surge of, like, oh, I'm home. And the words to that song started coming to me, and it just, it's, I love that person still, and nobody was wrong, you know, and I like the line, which my producer came up with, actually, Jamie Stone. He said, crazy how much things can change without breaking anything, and I just love that.
For sure.
That we don't have to break, you know?
Yeah, coming off the plains, and you do see the Rockies, it's okay.
We're home.
Yep, we're home. How far? Yeah, that's one of the songs. How far?
Yeah, that's the one that preceded To Know the Dark. Okay, and that one was the one just about that feeling that one has after losing somebody you love, and that you would just do anything to be with them. And it was fun to integrate, like, bits of my dad's voice into that track and his piano playing at the end. Towards the end of his life, I made sure that I recorded him because he had so many stories, and it was sort of the end of his life where he had Alzheimer's, but still the stories were so vivid, and the piano playing was just amazing. And so I just love that I get to listen to his piano playing, and I get to share that with other people.
You know, some people at the end, even with Alzheimer's, they are able to do their art still. And he still knows. My wife, Kate, her dad is almost 100 years old.
Oh, my
gosh. And he... I see him when he sees Kate come into the room when she's been gone a while. We go back to Colorado Springs. I see his light just shine up. His eyes are shining because he still knows Kate. And that's a special thing for someone, and when you're experiencing watching them have Alzheimer's toward the end of their life. So, that's pretty special the way you weave all that into your songs, for sure.
Thanks.
Well, did we miss one? Risk It All.
The fun, flirty.
Okay, let's talk about that one.
30s inspired dance tune. Jazz was a big shared love of both mine and my dad's. He was a jazz and classical pianist, and so there was always music playing in our house, and he would come home from work and just sit down and play the piano. And I think I always wanted to play jazz, but it's kind of a rabbit hole. And I just never had the skills. But later on in my 20s, I started trying to learn music theory and got to the point where him and I could sit down and play. And so I wrote this kind of, it's sort of inspired by that song Cheek to Cheek. About this dance floor romance that happens at a festival I go to in Lafayette, Louisiana. And we you know, give a little nod to Duke Ellington and his song, The Creole Love Call. And so 3/4 of the way through that song, you hear the trumpets kind of go do, 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 do. And it's pulling from that Duke Ellington riff. And it was such a fun song to write and a fun excuse to have to work on learning how to play it. That's what happens when we record a record. You go in and you play it one way and you record it, and then it comes out a completely different way. And then you have to spend like months figuring out how to reinterpret it.
Yes, I think songs have a life of their own, don't they?
They do, and these have all changed. Like, they're different than how I wrote them.
You're listening to KDNK's For Land's Sake program, and today is we have our local musician, and I'm claiming her as our local musician, Natalie Spears, with us. So, and we're talking about her album, which is her new album, her solo album is called Hymn of Wild Things. And you can get that on June the 28th. So we're talking about the album today, and I challenge you to go find a buck or two, whatever it takes, to purchase that album. It is fantastic. It really is. Okay, something that you said, I can't remember which song it was, stuck with me, and it was Become What You Believe.
Oh, yeah, Orchard of Dreams.
Orchard of Dreams, okay, that's where it was. And tell us a little bit what's behind that.
That was the song. Well, I don't always sleep really well, so
I can relate to that.
That tends to weave itself into my songs, and this song sort of starts with you bedding down and sleep coming to visit you, and saying that I'm going to take you to this orchard of dreams. And I was talking about this earlier, where sleep kind of carries you to this orchard, and you lay down at the tree, and the tree sucks up all your worries and fears and turns them into these fruits. And the last line is, become what you believe. Let them guide you, live them out. The trees are saying to you, take these fruits, now let them guide you, live them out. Become what you believe. And it's sort of a permission to believe in yourself instead of listening to all of the like negative chatter that goes on in my mind all the time. I was like, well, what if I believed that I could do this? And I had somebody telling me now, like, become what you think you believe you can do. And that's, it's taken a lot of, like, self-mustering to do this, to record this record.
Well, I guess the next thing I'd like to ask is, what's on the horizon for you now?
Oh, this is gardening.
Okay. Kate's a gardener at our house. That's not me, for sure. Yeah, gardening, huh? Okay.
I am playing a lot of shows, and the record's not officially out until June 28th, so I have a lot of work to do, and I've got a bunch of songwriting camps going on this month. We have the teen songwriting one tomorrow, and then two at Carbondale Arts, one for all girls, the ages 10 to 12, and then the next following week is co-ed for ages 10 to 12, and I'm really excited about those. And
well, that's great to help the young kids.
Oh, we have such an incredible generation of young songwriters in this valley, and they're so creative, and it's really amazing. My favorite part is the afternoons when we let them go off and just write by themselves and see what they come back with, and they're so uninhibited, you know.
That's true. Yeah, kids can be uninhibited, can't they? And the way they express themselves is like pure. It's not been messed with yet.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, if someone wants to still be involved in that, can they?
Yeah, we still have space in all of them.
Tell us how somebody, if that's interested, could do that.
If you are 13 or older, you can just show up at Taka tomorrow. We have a workshop for teens Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then the following week, you can register at my website, which is nataliespears.com, or you can go onto Carbondale Arts' website, and they'll help direct you.
Carbondale Arts, we're so lucky to have Carbondale Arts in this town, aren't we?
I feel like Katie and Kay and Carbondale Arts and the Soper Sun, they're just like the heartbeats, you know?
I think you got something there, for sure. Well, any trips besides being on the road? How long are you going to be on the road coming up?
I'm trying to make this sustainable for myself, because I think Lizzie and I ran ourselves into the ground pretty hard these past few years, and the music industry and the music world is pretty wild right now, and figuring out how the finances of it work can be challenging. And so I'm really invested in playing venues and shows where like the love is there, and we can kind of create the experience we had on Friday where it feels like, you know, between us and the audience, it ends up being something greater than all of us together. And so I'm playing a few shows, but good quality shows.
Oh, that's amazing that it did come together, and that's, I'll never forget that. That was wonderful. Thank you for doing that.
Thanks, Bill.
You know, I asked Kate what she really came away from the concert, and she said that she saw that it was truly inspired, and of course the poetry she liked, and the voice and delivery and how you did it. Your voice is just really maturing to me. I mean, it's always been great, but I just think you're just arriving. So lucky to be there at the concert and to hear you and to know you. It's been a great friendship. So thanks for coming in.
It's been a long time. I liked you used to have those poetry writing workshops. I really enjoyed those.
Yeah,
you should do that again.
Maybe so. I if you can write poetry on a postcard, then and be condensed to that degree and make it, you know, really tight, then you can write poetry any way you want and anywhere. You know, it's coming up here every Tuesday. Monday. Used to be on Tuesday. That's how I still get confused. Every Monday at 4:30, tune in. Every second Monday of every month. There we go. Just listen to Katie and Kay all the time, and you can't go wrong. But you've been listening to Katie and Kay's public affairs program for Land's Sake. And join us again every second Monday of the month. I'll get it right this time. And then until you join us next time, whatever you do to Mother Nature, do it for Land's Sake. Thanks again, Natalie, for coming in.
Thanks,
it's been a
Bill.
Pleasure.